You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church or other additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
Lord, just pray you bless your word tonight. Bless it to our hearts. I just know there's needs here that only you can meet. So I pray you touch us, that we can hear you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was going down to City Hall one day this week, and I'm cheap. I park here along the building, and I walk then to avoid paying the money. And down just right at the corner there, on the corner, in that little cove at Market and 4th Street, where they got all the big billboards on the wall, but they have a couple benches and pine trees there, and they have a little creche set up in there. And it's not very big, but it has there above the above the where the star would be, it says peace on earth. And I walked by and I saw that, and I thought to myself, you know, I really wish I had time to do a man on the street interview. I wanted to just stand there, and I did for a minute. No one was coming. They probably would have thought I was crazy anyway, but I wanted really to stop somebody and say, what do you think that means? And they said, what do you mean? Well, peace on earth. There's baby Jesus and Mary, Joseph, animals, you know. What's the point? What do you think that means? And it bugged me so much that I did actually do something of a man. I asked people this week, what's that mean, peace on earth? And to the general world, I think what that expression has come to mean is that Jesus is some kind of global Gandhi, sort of a Martin Luther King Jr. civil rights peace activist who lived this life of love, and if we would just follow his lifestyle, all of us could just coexist and you know, live in perfect harmony in the world. That's what the world thinks. But you know, from the time of Adam and Eve, man has had this faith in man. We think we can do it on our own. I was even, just when I was thinking about that, I was thinking of songs like Frank Sinatra. I mean, my wife said, please don't try to sing it, Larry. But you know that song where he says, I faced it all, I did it all, I did it my way. Yeah. I mean, and then for the women, Helen Reddy, you know, I am woman, hear me roar. I'm invincible, I am woman, you know. Sorry, I can't think of any modern songs, but you get the idea. We have this sense where man thinks he can do it, but man is never going to find a peace that's promised on Christmas morning by man's efforts. And I want us to see tonight that promise that we've heard in the scripture, that promise of peace, really is, I think, one of the most precious, wonderful promises that we receive in the giving of the Son of God, born in a manger on that little village of Bethlehem. The promise that I want to look at was in the scripture that says, which the angels declared, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. That expression gets kind of distorted a bit because in the King James language, we've heard it and grow up with peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But actually, this is probably the best way to translate it. And as we heard the context, here was the announcement of the birth of the Christ child. And I often believe that the angels in heaven just couldn't stand it anymore. The celebration in heaven spilled out into earth. And there they were. And they were declaring the highest praise to God they could give. Glory to God in the highest. In the human language, that's the best we can do. You know, that's the best we can give. Glory to God in the highest. They were giving God the greatest glory, and they wanted to recognize what's the greatest blessing to man. Peace on earth. to those with whom he is well pleased. But note that that was tied together with that proclamation that came earlier, where the angel first appeared to the shepherds and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." Good news, that means gospel. The gospel is good news. I bring you good news of great joy. You know, somebody says, "I got new good news for you." You expect it to be good. This angel said, "This is the best news you will ever hear in your life. This is the greatest news the world will ever hear. This is the good news. That there will be for all people." So it isn't just for you, shepherds. You've got to tell other people about this, by the way. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." I wonder if we could all just say that one part, because that's so key. "For unto you is born," let's say that. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." That's the promise to you as well. Unto you is born this day. It's a city, it's a promise to all people. This good news that we can all come and receive the offer of this Savior who is Christ the Lord. Because of our fallen nature, we're unable to get right with God by ourselves, no matter what we try. But and it is exactly because we're not right with God that we have all the problems we have. The problems we have with ourselves, the problems we have with other people, the problems of this world. That's where they all stem from, a broken, rebellious relationship with God. So there's a promise of peace to those with whom he is well pleased. Well, who is that? Who's he well pleased with? And that promise of peace comes to those. That expression, "please," is used in the Bible synonymous with "will." And I guess an expression might be, you might have heard, "if it pleases the king," you know, such and so. In other words, if it's the will of the king, we'll do that. So God is really saying here, what the angels are declaring, is that the ones that are in his will, the ones who trust in his name, have this promise of peace. That's the promise. And there's a twofold part of this promise that relates back into the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 9. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Alluding very much now to this event that we're hearing about in Bethlehem. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This announcement of the Messiah was that the government would be on his shoulders. Now, what government? I mean, we know the story of Jesus. Jesus never assumed office, never took an oath, you know, never got sworn in anything. So what government was he assuming? Well, he was assuming the government, the kingship of the kingdom of God, which, by the way, he described most often as the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Now, that used to bother me, to be honest. Why didn't he just call it the kingdom of God? Because there's something wonderful in that expression, kingdom of heaven. It's how we're taught to pray, by the way. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So you see, it's not a prayer for us, you know, looking to live on high by and by. What it is a prayer for right now to live in his kingdom right here, right now. It's recognizing that Jesus Christ is our mediator. We can call on the name of the Lord. Whenever you see "call" in the Bible, it's literally referring to prayer. You can call on me. "Give me a call," we say to one another. Well, when God says "give me a call," he means you can call on me. Who are we calling on? When we call on his name, we are calling on the fullness of the triune God. The wonderful counselor, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, with us always. Going to take our crude, primitive utterances to the Father. And we have the mighty God, everlasting Father. Father, who throughout Scripture is referred to as love. God is love. He loved the world so much, he sent his only Son. And finally, the one shown to us, how? How do we see him? The Prince of Peace. We need to hear the Lord say that to us. He is our peace. You know, I tried to put it into a vernacular, how I think if Jesus could just, what he would say is, you know, like, Larry, I got you covered on this. Yes, you will have problems, but I'm with you. Pray for your daily bread, and you can have confidence that you will receive the proper portion on that particular day. You will have struggles and difficulties, listen, but you can do all things through me, who will give you the strength. And whatever you need, I am exactly what you need. Nothing more, nothing less. If I really believed that, if I really understood that, what would I have to be worried about? What I would have to be concerned about? In fact, what I'd want to do is take everything to him, which is what the Apostle Paul captured in Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, thankfulness, because I am giving it to him, let your request be made known to God. And then what happens? The peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. When you live by faith and trust in the Savior for his completed work done on the cross for you, you have peace. Because you're living in the kingdom of God, under his government, under his rules, under his standards, and not by the world's. The world's looking for peace, but it's looking for it in all the wrong places. In the 60s and 70s, there was a Christian philosopher and theologian who I like very much by the name of Francis Schaeffer. And he wrote some 20-some books. But he wrote particularly books that were talking about how Christians could engage with society. And one of them was called How Shall We Then Live? And he made some predictions about what Western society was going to look at, particularly in the United States. And he wrote this in 1967. No, excuse me, 76. He wrote this one in 76. When he was looking at down the road, looking where society was at, he said that what was going to drive, the values that would drive American society were particularly personal peace and affluence. Affluence by that, you know, abundance of money, property, and goods. But listen to how he describes personal peace. Personal peace means to be left alone, not to be troubled by the troubles of other people, whether across the world or across the city, to live one's life with minimal possibilities of being personally disturbed. And I think this attitude has morphed far beyond what Schaeffer saw in 1976, because today there's almost this attitude that I have the right not to be bothered, right? Not to be offended, that my personal rights, however I determine them, cannot be challenged. And yet, ironically, those people who try to live that way don't have peace. They don't. In fact, the more inward we look, the less peace we have. And now we're looking for peace in a pill. Today, I just read an article in the New York Times that we have the worst drug epidemic in American history. And nothing to me captured how bad it is than this one little nugget in a Charleston, West Virginia newspaper. Listen to this. One rural West Virginia pharmacy alone got nearly 9 million hydrocodone pills to distribute over 2 years. Nearly 9 million opiate pills to one country drugstore. But, you know, the best The best peace the world can hope for is an absence of conflict that's temporary, a kind of a truce in a world of trouble. But Jesus offers something entirely different from the world. What did he say? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's his words, not mine. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be troubled. You can have peace if you have his peace. Our peace comes from our relationship with him. Why do we keep drilling home that so much here at City Church? Why do we constantly be talking about your relationship, about discipleship, about discoverer, and all of these things that we do here? It's all about him. It all comes back to that. The Prince of Peace. And Paul wrote about this also in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Because I know I've been justified by faith, I have been made right with God. Not because of my good works, but by faith in what Christ has done. I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I don't know how it could be any better. But there is another part of peace that we want to mention. This element of peace I've been talking about is personal, but to be made right, to rest in his steadfast love. But there's a broader promise of peace, the peace for the world, but it's not the peace that the world wants or desires. Spoken, if you want to know about that peace, you need to read the book of Revelation. Because in Revelation 11, we find it says, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven now, saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So all these kingdoms that we have here, doing their own little thing, man doing his own little thing, thinking we got it all together, he is going to come and reign over all of that. And you know what? Then there will be peace. Amen. When he reigns. And it's going to be a time. The angels declared, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, and for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. I just want to pause there. One of the things, when I lay in bed at night, I don't know if you have trouble sleeping, and you know, I got all these things on my mind, I allow myself to imagine what that would look like. When Christ would reign, when the new heavens and new earth are established, I just can't even imagine. I mean, it's beyond imagination, but I like to imagine it anyway, because I know that it will be exceedingly beyond all I could ever ask or think. The nations rage, but your wrath came in the time for the dead to be judged and for the rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. There's peace coming, folks. There's peace coming, but it's not the peace they want. He's going to judge, and then there will be peace. But I wanted to. But I wanted to conclude all this. I can. To bring it back to ourselves, to everyone here tonight, including me, including you. That we all, if we were honest, would admit we need more of that peace which Christ offers us, every one of us. And you know, the Apostle Paul knew that. That's why if you read his letters, do you know what he almost always puts right in the front? Just as soon as he greets people, he said, grace and peace to you through our God and Father and Lord Jesus Christ. You need the grace, and with the grace comes the peace. He prayed that for every single church. And that's the way it comes. The more we receive the grace of God given to us through Christ, when we look at the cross, we see the finished work accomplished for us. The more we believe by faith that that very creator of all that is, heavens and earth, he's given everything to us and for us. How can we not have peace? But in the hustle bustle of life, that's where it comes. And I wanted to close by playing a video that I want to share with you, the story behind, giving an example of a believer in Christ who experienced peace through great hardship. And he wrote a poem about it, and the poem became a hymn, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." The man who wrote the poem was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, which, if you know your American literature, he wrote the Song of Hiawatha, Paul Revere's Ride, you know, among others. He's a man who suffered greatly. His first wife died in childbirth. His second wife died in 1861 when she was sealing a letter with some wax. And, you know, you have to use a candle to melt the wax. Well, the candle caught her dress on fire, and she panicked, and she ran into her husband's study with this dress ablaze, and he just grabbed her to try and put the fire out. He injured himself quite severely. She ended up dying. He could not even attend a funeral because he was so badly burned. One of the reasons why the pictures we have of Longfellow with a big beard is because he grew a beard to hide his scars. So here he was, left with six children. In 1861, the oldest was 16 years old. And that young man's name was Charlie Longfellow. And this is 1861, so if you know your history, the American Civil War was going on at the time. They were living in Boston, a hotbed of nationalism, and Charlie got the bug. And when he turned 18, hopped on a train, didn't tell Dad, and in April of 1863, joined the Union Army. He actually turned out to be quite a good fighter and rose to become second lieutenant. But in a battle in Virginia in November of 63, he was severely wounded. And on December 1st, Longfellow got this telegram that his son was in danger of dying. They didn't know if he even would live, whether he would ever walk again. And you imagine now, Longfellow is just going through this month of December. And he finds himself on Christmas Day, 1863, a 57-year-old widowed father of six children, and the oldest is now paralyzed and possibly going to die in a battle of a war between a nation against itself. And he hears the Christmas bells summoning people to the church that day, and he heard people saying, "Peace on earth." And he thought to himself, there's no peace on earth. You know, there really isn't. All around him, he saw injustice. He saw violence. But he sat down and he wrote a poem because he heard a song beyond the bells. He found in his faith, in that moment, he found what he was missing. It was a sound of hope. And that poem was later made into the carol, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Let's hear it now.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. They're old familiar carols play. And mild and sweet their songs repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells are ringing like a choir, they're singing in my heart. Despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But the bell rings. revolve from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant of life. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells they're ringing, like a choir that's singing. And with our hearts we'll hear them. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
I pray that tonight, that every one of us can hear those bells. We can hear that song in our hearts tonight, that even though we are going through those kind of pains and sufferings that Longfellow went through, Lord, that anguish of soul, looking at a world all torn up, but Lord, he could see the hope that was given to us at Bethlehem. And we have that hope now, Lord. We can cling to that and hold fast to that. We do have this peace that you promised, not as the world gives. We have no reason to despair. We praise you and thank you now. Praise your wondrous name.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For service times, additional audio, along with any other information about our church, please visit citychurchpa.org.